Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Dennis. Thank you very much. I am honored.
And it's such a great thing to talk to you about someone who changed this nation, Jackie Robinson, whom you knew. But before we get to him, I just want to go back a little bit because you were a Mobile, Alabama area native.
Right.
And what was it about baseball as a little kid that said to you, this is what I want to do?
You just mentioned it a moment ago that I was born in Mobile, Alabama, which was very segregated. And that wasn't too many things that black folk could do. Back when I was growing up as a little boy, you either had to be a school teacher or play sports. That's the only two things that you could do. The world just wasn't open for anything else for you to do. And that's what happened, really. I just didn't give myself an opportunity, nor a chance, to do anything else other than play baseball.
Were you inspired by anybody?
I was inspired by Jackie Robinson, of course, no question about that. He inspired many, many blacks, and he gave all of us an opportunity as if to say, all we want to do is just give us the platform and we can do the rest, But, I think back and I say, God works in mysterious ways, if you just think about some of the things that happened in my case particular. Because back then, many years ago, a ball player could sign one contract, and you could be in the minor leagues for the next 10 years. They could send you from Class A ball to Class AA to Class Z ball, and they could just keep you going on and on and on. And I was so glad when I signed the contract with the Braves that they didn't have many high power players, really. The Yankees had most all of them. And the Braves, of course, was a little bit different because they didn't have any money. And of course, money was something. I wasn't even thinking about money. But when I signed a contract with them, I stayed in the minor leagues for a year and a half. And that was unheard of back when I started.
Yeah, that was very fast.
It was very fast for me to get to the major leagues as quickly as I did. And a lot of people say, well, the reason that I got to the major leagues is because of a talent. Of course, I started out in Class C ball. And I had a pretty good year in Class C ball. Then went from Class C to Double A to Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, I led the team in everything but hotel accommodation. So I had a fairly decent year in Jacksonville. And that winter, I went and won a ball in Puerto Rico. And I had a good year in Puerto Rico. And that fall when the Braves called me up, that was time for me to really do my thing,
I was told that your father, though, told you he didn't think you could play baseball because there were no Negro ball players.
You're absolutely right. I was standing in the backyard in Mobile, Alabama, because I was born in the country, and my father had me chopping wood. And I told him, he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I wanted to be an airline pilot. That's what I wanted to be. But he said, boy, he said, you never will be able to fly an airplane. They ain't gonna let you do that. I said, well, if I can't fly an airplane, I want to play baseball. He said, neither one of those things you can do. Chop that wood, boy, and get on. So I just got on the wood and started chopping the wood and forgot about it. But I did. I had Jackie Robinson's theory, what he had said, really, and what he had done. And it was, I was just so happy that he came along and was able to show everybody that he could play baseball. If I can tell you this story, and this is a true story. After I signed a contract for the Indianapolis Clowns of the Negro League, this is the Negro League, I think we got $1 a day meal money, and I got $250 a month for salary. And I had a friend of mine named Jenkins who, I think he lived here for a little while, but I think he eventually died. And so he and I used to be seatmate in the Indianapolis Clowns. And we used to buy Every Saturday or Sunday, we would buy a large jar of peanut butter, about that tall. And the peanut butter that we bought, it wasn't the kind that you buy now. It was really the kind that get right here in your throat, and that's where it would hang up. It would hang up right there. And he and I would buy a jar of peanut butter and a loaf of bread. And 4 days out of the week, that's what we lived off of. You know, we lived off of peanut butter and jelly. I mean, peanut butter and bread.
And bread.
And that's what we lived off of. You know, and the only time we ever stayed in a hotel was on a Saturday night. And the rest of the time, we would travel all over the place, you know.
Did you have, when your careers overlapped for a few years, did you have a chance to say to Jackie Robinson, you're one of the reasons I'm here?
Jackie and I talked quite often before he died. I respected him not only for his baseball knowledge, but for what he meant to me as a man off the field, what he was able to do, you know. He was always concerned with other people and very, very smart with baseball. You know, I mean, when he was playing with the Dodgers, he knew how to control the tempo of the game and everything else, you know. He told me one day, he said, you know, as much talent as I had, he said, the one thing he said he wanted to see me do, and I started doing that the next year. He said, I want you to start running the bases a little bit more, stealing bases a little bit more, you know, because he was a daredevil on the base path. You know. And I did talk with him. I talked with him quite often.
Did you ever talk to him about the terrible things that he endured as the first African-American major league player and how he approached them? Because certainly people remember during the time when you were approaching Babe Ruth's career home run record, some of those things happened to you, and certainly earlier in your career as well.
Yes, we both had something similar to happen to both of us, you know, as baseball players. We were the first, at least I played in the South Atlantic League, which was a salary league.
The salary league.
Yeah. And it was only three black ball players there. It was me, Felix Mantilla, and Horace Garner, the three black players that were on the team. And we didn't stay in the hotel with our teammates. We stayed in homes. And we didn't travel with our teammates. We had to travel by ourselves, you know. We talked about things like that, you know, and Jackie got to the point where, before he died, there were a hotel, I'd rather not call the name of the hotel, in St. Louis, that when he first came up, they wouldn't let him stay in the hotel. And so after they did acknowledge the fact that let him stay in the hotel, then he decided that he wasn't going to stay in the hotel. He said, to hell with it. But I remember that same hotel that many times that we stayed in the hotel. And this is the truth. And you go in and, well, I can tell you the name of it, the Chase Hotel. Hell. And we stayed at the Chase Hotel, and you get you a nice room, and here I am. Now, that's my 14th year in the big leagues. And you open the key to your room, and you think you got a nice little view outside, and what do you open it up to? About a blank wall, staring you right in the face. And that's what you had most all the time. You know, that was a young lady. Well, I would say young lady. She wasn't a young lady. She was much older than I was. Yeah. Lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And she, the name was Mel Good, and he wrote for the Pittsburgh Courier. And Mel Good's wife, there were only a few blacks in the big leagues at that time, you know, at the time. It was, the Braves had three and somebody else had three. It was maybe about 12 or 13 blacks in the big leagues. And she used to cook dinner for us no matter who came into town, she would cook dinner. And this woman, I'm telling you, I tell a lot of people, she could do more with a chicken thigh than you could do with five chickens, you know, really. She was wonderful, you know. But we made it. It was tough, you know, in some ways. It was tougher in the South Atlantic League for me than it was in the big leagues. You know, I had a rough time in the South Atlantic League, And I wasn't kidding when I said I led the league in everything but hotel accommodation. I didn't do, they wouldn't let me do anything. I couldn't stay with my teammates. I couldn't play with them. And it was a player, I think he's no longer here now. And I'm telling you, he was about as tough as he could be on me. You know, his name was Corky Valentine. And every time Corky Valentine, I would go to the plate, boy, he would either find a spot in my neck or my head or my back or someplace, and he would drill me, you know. And it just so happened that he and I got to the big leagues at the same time. He was in Cincinnati organization. And the very first pitch he threw to me in Cincinnati, I hit over ballpark. I crawled my feet. Yeah.
And when the Braves came here to Atlanta, yes, it was during the Civil Rights Movement, and Jackie Robinson was already retired and very involved in the movement at that point. Was he someone that you spoke with at all about coming here to Atlanta in the mid to late 60s? It was 67, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you talk to him at all about that? Because he was really involved in the movement then.
Never did. You know, Jackie was born, I think, in Cairo, Georgia.
Yeah, Cairo.
Cairo, Georgia. Yeah, yes. He was born in Cairo, Georgia. But he never talked to me. You know, he went to school in California out there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jackie had gotten to the point where he was, he just wasn't going to accept had been. You know, he was... He had gotten so that he said, I've showed people what I can do now. I need to be treated like a person. But in talking to him about certain things, he was concerned about, not about baseball itself, but about the concern about baseball attracting more blacks into baseball, you know, at that time. Because at the time he came along, there was only about a few of us, you know, and you could name them on your right hand, you know. And so he was worried about the fact that, he said, somewhere along the line, baseball has got to understand that if given the opportunity, that we can do everything that anybody else can do in this game, including managers, including coaching, and everything as in being general managers, you know, but we have to have an opportunity.
And I think, was it in the 72 World Series that he throughout the first ball and then said, I'll be happy when I look across the diamond and see some a black face in the dugout.
In the dugout or coaching, that's right. Yeah. I remember, it was in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Major League Baseball honors Jackie Robinson every year. Mm-hmm. But are we seeing, do you think he would look at where we are with African Americans in the offices and in the dugouts and say, this is what I thought would happen, or?
I think that if you should ask Jackie the same question, if he was alive today, I think he would say he would be very disappointed in the way Major League Baseball has operated so far, you know, really. And I've been involved with Major League Baseball ever since I got out of the game itself on the field. And I too have been somewhat disappointed in some of the things that baseball has done as for African Americans. To be honest with you, Dennis, we still have some ways to go in that regard, you know.
Is that because baseball hasn't made a wholehearted effort to attract black managerial and front office talent, or is it part of a more systemic problem in that the game itself doesn't appeal as much as it did to young African Americans who now might look at other sports?
Well, yes and no. And I think I would say no is because I don't think that they give African American a chance to appeal to the game. First of all, if you take the average black kid who's come up and start playing baseball and he plays from the 8th grade to the 10th grade or 11th grade, and then when he gets ready to go to college, there is no scholarships offered to him at all. Scholarships come, that's when football takes over. Mm-hmm. And I love football, but that's when football takes over. And football would say, you bring this boy in here and we'll give him a 4-year scholarship. And that'll be the end of it. And the mother black mother or parents, whoever it is, look at them and say, hey, I'm going to send my kid to college on a four-year scholarship and I don't have to pay anything. I'm going to let him go and play football. So she's going to push him to go play football rather than play baseball. We've had Deion Sanders, who was a very good baseball player.
Brian Jordan.
You can name quite a few of them. But the toughest thing in sports, is to try to do two professional. You can play minor league ball, but you can't play major league baseball and play professional football. You just can't do it. And we don't have diamonds. You know, I played in spite of. I played in fields that I thought I was picking up a baseball and I was picking up cow, you know. But I did it in spite of. But kids today don't have, they need to have places to play game, to play the game. Baseball is played on a field that requires you to have light, bat, ball, uniform, and a glove and a ball. And a basketball, I love football, but you can put a hoop up right in here and you can play basketball, you know. So it's a difference in this two sports, you know, and if kids want to play baseball, because baseball requires you to play every single day and learn, you know.
You've said that you had to break Babe Ruth's record, in your words, for Jackie and my people and myself and for everybody who ever called me the N-word. What do you hope that those people who called you that were thinking when you were able to have that great achievement? And were you thinking of Jackie Robinson when you did it?
I was thinking about, yes, I was, but I also was thinking about my mother and father, what they had gone through, you know. It was 2.5 years, probably told this story many times, was probably the saddest 2.5 years I ever had in baseball, personally, myself. You know, for 2.5 years, I did not dare stay with my teammates. I mean, this was in the big leagues. I didn't dare go out in the streets to eat. That was the 2 years that I was challenging Babe Ruth's record. I had to be escorted out of the ballpark. I had to live with as if I was running for a presidential slot. So I had all of these things to worry about, and yet many a days, many a nights, you know, while I was playing, that I got all kind of threatening letters from different people. And so it was really a tough 2.5 years. And I don't know that I would put anybody through that, really. I really don't. I did it, and I was glad that I did it. I was glad that I had the chance to do it. And I did it in spite of all of the things that happened to me, you know. I don't know that if somebody said, would you do it again? I don't know. You know, I don't know. And knowing what I know now, that I would challenge that, you know, really. I don't know that I would. For example, Pete Rose got the highest hit total.
Yes.
And he had the greatest thrill of his life, the 2 years that he challenged the record. You know, nobody bothered him. Barry Bonds broke my record and nobody bothered him. You know, I mean, he had the greatest thrill. I didn't have too much fun, really, playing the game when I was challenging the record. It was a tough thing for me, you know, really.
Who's paving the way now, do you think, when it comes to some of the things we've talked about? Oh, African-Americans in positions of prominence in baseball, not just on the field. Is there a Jackie Robinson for whatever the next barrier is?
I don't know. I really don't know, and I can't, and I'm not dodging the question, but I don't know, and the reason I don't know, I guess I'm not fully that associated with baseball as I used to be, except 10 years ago, you know. I do know some of the guys, but names now kind of throw me, you know, when I hear names, you know, if they're not Henry Aaron. I don't know.
Anything else that you think is important, a message you would have for our friends here, or something about Jackie Robinson and his importance that we haven't covered that you'd like to get out there?
Well, I think I am glad that I played in an era in which all of these things became a reality. You know, really, when I think about what it is, you know, Henry, you were lucky enough to play baseball for 23 years, and you were lucky enough to have a Hall of Fame career, you know, which was good, you know, really, and I was lucky. I played the game the way it's supposed to be played. I played it hard, and I played it to the fan. I played it for the fans to like me. I wasn't worried about the players. I wasn't worried about anybody else. Didn't make any money, even when I got to the big leagues. Here's a story here that is a true story, and I'm sure it's somewhat similar to what Jackie went through, is that when we first won the pennant in 1957, playing the Yankees, we beat them in seven games. I remember we split the pile up, and we call it the pile, it's players' participation we had about 21 players, I guess. And our share came to, I think at that time, was about $8,000. So sure enough, in about 2 weeks, I got my little $8,000, and I went to the bank, put the note up on the teller's desk. He said, "Mr. Aaron, what do you want to, it's in Milwaukee, Marshall and Leslie Bank." And I put the note up there. He said, "What do you want me to do with this?" He said, "You want me to put this in your checking account?" I said, no. I said, "Just cash it. Let's just cash it all out and let me carry it home with me." I had never seen that much money. I want to look at it for a while, so sure enough. Sure enough, he cashed it, and I carried it home, and I was staying in a house, and it was right on the alleyway. And I went in the house, and I pulled down all the shades, make sure nobody could see me, and put that $8,000 on the bed and looked at it for a while. I said, "Man, I had never in my life seen that much money. And I was going to take a good look at it for a while." Until later on, when things happened, said, "Now you got to better start paying some bills." And I started paying bills, and I think I ended up with $100 on it. $8,000. That was it. But that's a true story. But that's the thing that we did. It was tough, but you make the best of it. You know.
Yeah. You would do it again.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. You know. Really. I said that before, and I said in a way that, you know, it was. Some of the things that I had to go through, playing the game was easy, but the other things was really tough, you know, really. It was, I don't know. I'll let you handle that, Dennis.
It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Enjoy it. Thank you.